This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
New York is the city that never sleeps, and neither does Sal Licata. From Flushing in the Bronx to the Meadowlands and MSG, Sal sounds off on the biggest sports news of the day. Welcome to WFAN Daily with Sal Licata.
Hi. I just had to get these settings up right. They weren't right. Hi. That game sucked, huh? I mean, I don't know if it's just because I'm getting older and Super Bowls aren't the same in general anyway. This year we didn't have a party, which does take a little bit away from it. But I was trying to think, like, man, I used to love Super Bowls as a kid. Just love them. Going to the party and hanging out with the aunts and uncles and the boxes and the food. And then even obviously as I got older, whether it was hosting parties or going to some others, it just always felt special. And then as you get old, like this one for me, because we didn't have a party or go to a party, it felt like a normal shitty game on a Sunday. I mean, that's what it was. It was just a dominant performance from the Eagles, and one that was kind of predictable for a couple of reasons. The fact that the Eagles were a dominant team right after the slow start early on. Remember, they lost on Monday Night Football to the Falcons, and really that was it. They turned their season around, and they just dominated interior-wise, their D-line, their offensive line, Saquon obviously having a huge season, running the football down everybody's throats, and they have the weapons to make the plays. I doubted Philadelphia coming into the year for two reasons. One, because they lose Kelce, and I'm thinking, well, that's going to be a major hit for their offensive line. Didn't realize that they'd replace him with somebody that potentially is even better. The other reason why was I didn't believe in Sirianni, and Sirianni a year ago was not only in the hot seat, it was like expected that he was going to get fired. His antics, his doofy nature, I could not have been more wrong about Nick Sirianni. But all this stuff is stuff that I acknowledge going into the postseason, because Philadelphia in the regular season was as dominant as anybody, especially when Detroit's defense started to fall off. So in this particular matchup, you had a team that you, if you watched clearly, was a dominant team. And the other team, even though they have the better head coach and quarterback with Mahomes and Reed, they were not dominant at all. Matter of fact, even when they've won Super Bowls the last couple of years, like, they haven't been dominant. If you look at the spreads and, you know, how much they cover the spread, it seems like Kansas City always struggles to do so. Not that that's a barometer for, you know, how the team is. Obviously, you win a Super Bowl, you win a Super Bowl, but just there, and this year in particular, playing with fire all year long. One thing that I was definitive about, and it cost me a lot in my weekly picks throughout the course of the year, but I was definitive that somebody would beat Kansas City, which is why I had to go with Philadelphia again in this matchup, even when, you know, like, how could you bet against Mahomes? There was no really wrong side. If you bet the Chiefs and Mahomes and Reed, I understand why you did that. But the Eagles were the better team. And finally, it culminated the way that I thought that it should this year with the Chiefs getting beat. Not only did they get beat, they got beat to a pulp. So that just shows you maybe the real difference between the two teams. I'm not saying that it would play out like this. If you played this game 100 times, would the Eagles dominate like that, every one of them or the majority of them? Maybe not. But it did feel like this was inevitable for the Chiefs at some point, whether it was going to be the Ravens or the Bills, who just proved to be perennial losers. Somebody, I thought, was going to get them. It turns out to be the Eagles. Now, one of the other reasons why you just felt like this was inevitable is because anything and everything that could go wrong for the New York Giants this year did go wrong. That was another factor in my reasoning for thinking the Eagles were going to win this Super Bowl, because I've been there before. We've been there. All right, please. This is like you're rooting for one thing to happen and it just keeps going against you. And you're like, all right, enough. I'll deal with all these other losses. Just please don't let this happen. Please don't let the Eagles win the Super Bowl. I'll deal with Saquon going on having a monster year. I'll deal with the Eagles getting to the Super Bowl. Deal with the Giants embarrassing themselves throughout the course of the year. Like, there's a lot that Giant fans took on this year. Shane and Dable, I'll deal with them staying. Whatever it may be, whatever your take was, the one last grasp for the Giants or for the Giants fans was to just anything but the Eagles. Like, all you had to do to save an otherwise god-awful season, maybe the worst in the history of the 100 years, all you had to do to avoid total and utter embarrassment and disaster was not have the Eagles become Super Bowl champions. The Eagles are Super Bowl champions. Saquon Barkley is now a Super Bowl champion. Goes from the Giants to the Eagles, and in the first year, wins the Super Bowl there. That is just, that's as bad as it gets. There, that is the cherry on top of the worst year in the 100-year history. Now, I don't really know, like, you know, I'm not 100 years old. I don't know every year that the Giants had. But we've talked about it throughout the course of the year and where this would stack up. And this never happened before, and that never happened before. It is the worst year in the history, 100-year history of New York Giants football. The good news is there's nowhere to go but up. Like, it can't be any worse. Now you've endured the worst possible. This is it, right? I mean, would it have been worse if anybody, like the Jets won the Super Bowl? No. Cowboys? No, you've seen that. Washington? Eh, who cares? This was it. This is the war. And to do it with Saquon, like, that's it. Now the damage has been done. Everybody who's rooting against Saquon or hoping, you know, maybe he wasn't going to play a full season, hoping he didn't get the right, like, guy won the Super Bowl. That's it. Oh, man, that is just brutal. All right. So the other thing, aside from the atrocious game, just a bad, yeah, my wife's like, you look like you're not even into it. I'm like, yeah, there's a reason for it. It's 40-6 or whatever it was. Game was over at halftime. Although I will say that one thing I was thinking, I finally had a rooting interest. Even though I picked the Eagles, I wanted to root. I didn't want to root for the Chiefs to win again. And I certainly don't want to see the Eagles win a Super Bowl, but I thought the Eagles were going to win, so I was leaning that way. But when the Eagles got out to that big lead, I started to think, oh, man, this is the only way that maybe you could get the loser Atlanta Falcons off the hook after blowing that 28-3 Super Bowl lead if the Chiefs came back after being down, what was it, 27-0 in this one. Obviously, it didn't happen, but I was thinking, hey, maybe we get a historic comeback here that could at least get the 28-3 stuff, put that at least on the back burner for a little bit. It also goes to show you, if you were watching that game, and I'm assuming you were, think of how bad that first half felt. You're like, God, this game is over. The Chiefs have no chance to come back. Even worse was what happened with the 28-3 game in Super Bowl 51 8 years ago. Also, when I thought Tom Brady was pretty good today, by the way, on the broadcast. You know, commercials, whatever. People are getting on Kendrick for the halftime. It was fine. It wasn't a bad performance, but like, people are going nuts like it was bad. If it's either your music or you're not. You either like him or you don't. He wasn't bad. It's just not my cup of tea necessarily, although I liked all the diss tracks at Drake, and I did love to see Serena with the Crip Walk. But I thought Tom Brady was very good. He seemed calm, relaxed, which you would expect him in the Super Bowl. That's usually when he thrives. So I thought Brady was pretty good. And, you know, he gave you some good insight as to what he was thinking and how a potential comeback and losing Super Bowls. So there was a lot there with Brady in the broadcast booth in this particular game. The Super Bowl sucked. That's it. It was bad. It was a bad game. And it happens. That's sometimes the buildup, the two-week buildup, and you get a snooze fest like that, a dominant performance where the Chiefs couldn't even move the football. Whatever. It happens. That's it. And now we move on. And what we move on to is Aaron Rodgers. And the news came down earlier today that Jay Glazer reported for Fox, I'm pretty sure he was the first that had it, that Rodgers flew to New York / New Jersey last week to meet with the Jets, and they decided that they were going to move on and go in a different direction. Now, I would not have done that. I've been on record saying I wanted Rodgers back. As a matter of fact, I was on record saying I wanted Rodgers back when still a lot of Jet fans were saying they wanted no part of Rodgers. This is like in the midst of the Jets losing, before Rodgers started playing better and putting up some more numbers at the end of the year, which I understood. I'm just thinking Rodgers is a winner. Everybody else is a loser. And if I'm the Jets, I'd want to keep the one winner here and try to build a culture. Now, I also would have hired Pete Carroll. So in my scenario, I would have not kept this exact team intact because the team was a mess, but keep enough of it there and go get a real head coach like Pete Carroll and or an experienced head coach. I would have taken Carroll. If Gruden, you want to, whatever. Obviously, Carroll did get hired, Gruden did not. But you get the point. I would have paired experienced, proven, Super Bowl winning head coach, even McCarthy when he shook free, experienced Super Bowl winning head coach with Aaron Rodgers and this roster, and see if you could make the playoffs and see what this could have been really for the last, at least this season, if they had a real head coach, not Robert Saleh, and then even worse, Jeff Ulbrich. So once they hired Aaron Glenn, kind of to me, all bets were off. I still thought it would be advantageous to have Rodgers back, but I totally understand the Jets side of things. The other thing that I like about this is that Muji and Glenn have already started making a ton of moves to clean up that culture, getting people out of that building, bringing in new people into the building. That's how true change is made. I don't recall the Jets, even though they continue to do this every 4 years, hire a new general manager, new head coach. It seems like it happens way too often. I don't recall the shakeups in the front office quite to this degree, or maybe even if at all. This seems pretty significant. And a lot of these moves, I'm feeling good about these moves from Aaron Glenn. So I'm going to choose to trust Muji and Glenn in this spot. And I could also understand it because as much as I love Rodgers, there is his presence can be a detriment in certain settings. And in this particular case with the Jets, where things are so fragile, a part of me does feel like it's just better off starting from scratch. Now, the problem is going to be who's going to quarterback the team. I mean, I saw a report that said Tyrod Taylor. I mean, come on, man. Come on. I'm not watching 18 weeks of Tyrod Taylor. I can't do it. So from that aspect, you're probably not going to find a better quarterback this year. But if you're trying to build a true team and get everybody pulling in the right direction, maybe this is the best thing. Maybe, it was referenced about not wanting to have somebody miss minicamp or not wanting to have somebody go on the McAfee show. Like, those are things you'd have to live with Rodgers, and where the Jets are at, is it worth living with that stuff again when the end game is what? He's going to move on after next year anyway. Like, I don't know how they're going to figure this out money-wise. They're going to trade him. They're going to cut him, whatever it may be. But it's going to be another rebuild for this team that does have some talent. Look, you never know in the NFL. Maybe the Jets can win 9-10 games, even with a different quarterback outside of Rodgers, and make the playoffs. If Glenn cleans up the mess, trims the fat, gets these guys to play hard, that'll be the hope. It just seems very difficult to feel good about that when, A, they haven't done it in nearly a decade and a half, and B, you don't know who the quarterback is going to be. So I see the negatives there as well. I would have gone Carroll, McCarthy, Carroll / McCarthy and Rodgers. But if you're going to hire a first-time head coach and a first-time general manager, I certainly see and understand why they'd want to go in a different direction. I saw a bunch of Jeff fans complaining about it on social media, the same Jeff fans that probably wanted Rodgers out of here 7 weeks ago or 10 weeks ago now. Now it's like, oh, how are we going to survive without him? I get it. But at this point, you have to trust Muji and Glenn. And they feel like for whatever reason, remember, stuff could have happened in those meetings where Rodgers may have not, maybe they got the vibe that Rodgers wasn't all in. Although I do feel like Rodgers is going to play and does want to play. We don't know whose decision it was at this point. Could it have been on the Jets front office? Could it have been on Rodgers himself? We'll find out the details maybe as soon as this week. But I don't think it's the end of the world. I would have gone in a different direction. Experienced head coach and Rodgers back. They went with inexperienced head coach and no Rodgers. But I do like the feel of the different moves that Muji and Glenn are now making, where they seem to be in control. Not Woody. They're not going to be puppets for him. Glenn and Muji seem to be in control. And dare I say, now look, it's very easy to be proven wrong here. I feel like finally the Jets are headed in the right direction. And I feel like there's hope, at least, that maybe these are the right guys to try to clean that mess of an organization up. All right, that does it for this edition of WFAN Daily, a super edition of WFAN Daily. Back at it again with another episode for you this week. Keep it locked here for all the stuff that we insert in this feed. It's always fun. Hope you enjoyed the game, even though it sucked. Maybe you won some bets. We'll see you tomorrow, Monday morning. When you're, I don't know when you're listening to this, but if you're watching live, see you Monday morning, 10 a.m. with BT on the Fan. If you're listening to this just on your own, then just have a good day, whenever this is. Bye.